A big announcement is expected tomorrow from the US President Donald Trump, an announcement that will jeopardise the international deal that has been restraining Iran's nuclear weapons program. European leaders have mounted last-minute bids to convince Donald Trump to fix it, not nix it, but the president seems determined this time to walk away from the deal, having been restrained in the past, and that will create a diplomatic headache. One leader, though, who will celebrate such a move is Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who has vocally urged Mr. Trump to dump the Iran deal, at the same time as Israel and Iran move closer to open conflict across the border with Syria. The author of an insightful new biography on the Israeli leader says Iran may in fact prove to be his defining legacy issue. Anshel Pfeffer is Israeli correspondent for The Economist and senior correspondent for Israel's Haaretz newspaper. His book is Bibi, The Turbulent Life and Times of Benjamin Netanyahu. He joined me from New York. Anshel Pfeffer, thank you very much for joining us. Bibi Netanyahu was the youngest prime minister in Israel's history when he took office. 46, he was the first to have been born after independence. Now he's close to being the longest serving Israeli prime minister. What's the secret to his endurance? Because it's not without controversy at all, is it?
No, it's certainly not without controversy. And I think that there are a number of secrets to endurance, but I think the main one is Netanyahu's ability to build a coalition of underdogs and discontented sections of the Israeli public and of parties, which political parties, which feel that they've been shut out of the mainstream. And it almost sounds counterintuitive because he's been a prime minister for so long. How could he not be the one who is representing the establishment? But that's his genius. He's always managed to maintain this feeling of resentment, even though his government has been in power for so long. They still feel they're outsiders. And that's what keeps his coalition together.
So what does he actually believe in? I mean, he's secular. He's got a very American demeanor. Some people say he's more American than Israeli. That's dogged him a little bit as well. What does he believe in?
I think that you would have to classify him as a Jewish nationalist more than a religious fundamentalist. He's, like you say, he's secular. He does have alliances with a number of religious parties and groups within Israel, but he himself is both secular and I think he believes in the same kind of form of Judaism or Israeli ideology that his religious partners do. But he does believe in a sense of Jewish history and destiny, which the Jews are a nation which is constantly under attack and has to always look out for its survival, has to always be on guard. And that's really what maintains his sense of burning destiny and inevitability.
And one of the defining issues for the Israeli state, at least since 1967 in particular, has been the fate of the Palestinians. How does Netanyahu see Israel's responsibility towards the Palestinians?
Well, he mainly sees them as a sideshow. Netanyahu believes in the clash of civilizations school of anthropology and world history. He believes that the West is in conflict with the Muslim and the Arab world, and he sees Israel as being an outpost of Western civilization. And he's been trying for the last 25 years to convince the world to back the Western world to support Israel because Israel is at the forefront. And that's why he believes that the Arab world has been for so many years hostile to Israel, not because of the Palestinian issue. And he will constantly tell visitors who come and see him around the world that the Palestinian issue is a sideshow. He even calls it a rabbit hole. Don't go down the rabbit hole. Focus on the big picture. Focus on the conflict with Iran. Focus on the conflict with the Muslim world. That's been his motto, basically, since he entered public life.
And that goes some way to explain, I suppose, why we've seen him put on some fairly impressive theatrics, particularly most recently over Iran. That is the issue of the moment in two senses, the Iran nuclear deal and his efforts to convince Trump to dump it. And then this hotter clash between Israel and the Iranians in Syria. Is that going to end up defining, do you think, Netanyahu's time as an Israeli leader?
It could well be the defining moment. We could well be entering the defining moments of his legacy. I mean, it's important to note that Iran, Netanyahu did not invent the Iranian threat. Iran and Israel have been, in some sense, at war since 1979, since the Islamic Revolution in Iran. For most of that time, Israel and Iran have been enemies in a shadow war, never a direct war. But he certainly has focused on this and put everything else on the sidelines and made this his main issue.
I mean, the fascinating thing about your book is the personal story that you bring to us, dating right back to Netanyahu's grandfather and really sort of setting up some of the kind of logic that flows through to Netanyahu, the man we know now. And it's a wonderful piece of research for that. But he wouldn't talk to you for the book. Where did that leave you?
Well, Netanyahu he's a son of a historian. He has a very keen sense of how he sees his place in history. While he believes he's making history, he's always got another eye out for the history books, for the narrative, the historical narrative that will be written in decades and even centuries to come. He believes he is a major figure in history, and he may be right. And he wants to be the man to dictate how history sees him. So he's instinctively against anyone trying to write his biography. He said to me a couple of times when he met me over the last few years that you're writing a book about me, but you know nothing about me, and the book will be a cartoon. That's his attitude. I suppose I can understand someone wanting to dictate how he's seen to history, but that's our job as journalists, is not to allow any politician to dictate how we see them.
Israel is about to celebrate 70 years in existence. Bibi Netanyahu is the prime minister for this moment. What does that mean in terms of how we think about the future of the Israeli state?
Well, Israel is at a pivotal moment. And over the last decade or even two decades, Israel's prosperity has grown. Its security has increased in an ironic way, because the rest of the region around it has been consumed by a turmoil which began with the Arab Spring, and we don't really call it the Arab Spring anymore. And Israel's immediate neighbors are no longer as threatening as they used to be. Egypt has got its own problems and has a peace treaty with Israel. Syria has been torn apart. So in many ways, Israel is more secure now than it ever has been. And it's more prosperous because Israel has embarked on building a high-tech economy, which basically trades with the world and bypasses the less prosperous regions around Israel. It's a very unique situation which Israel finds itself in. And this is a situation where Israel's leaders could take Israel to another level of prosperity and a level of security, try and work some kind of peace agreement with the Palestinians who are living in the same small plot of land. Netanyahu hasn't done that, and that's I think that's been a real missed opportunity. It's been a squandered opportunity that Netanyahu could have used. And I think we will be seeing him when he does finally depart the political scene. I think we'll see him as someone who really missed a chance here, and hopefully the next leaders of Israel will still have this opportunity.
Anshul Pfeffer is the author of the biography Bibi, The Turbulent Life and Times of Benjamin Netanyahu. And there's a longer interview with Anshul Pfeffer on our website. Search for ABC PM. You'll find it there.